where Nobody Knows Your Name is not filmed in front of a live studio audience. Hello, welcome back. We've got a fine American episode for you today, as we're discussing a fine French wine.
What did the grape say when someone stood on it?
It didn't say anything, but it did let out a little wine. You're good with your Christmas cracker jokes, aren't you?
I love a Christmas cracker joke.
When we recorded our Christmas specials, which you can watch, we had crackers and he was putting them out and he was nailing the punchlines left, right and center, weren't you, John?
Yeah, but I don't think that's like a high praise. I feel like definitely the Christmas cracker joke is the lowest form of comedy. They're not even puns half the time. They're just sort of statements.
True.
This is I was going to say a cracking episode, as if that was a joke.
Say it.
I've said it. We'll keep it as that. But it's a good one. And who directed this one, James, and who are our writers?
Well, it's a good question. James Burrows and Dan Staley and Rob Long.
And they do a good job with this episode. It's a busy episode. I'll give them that.
Yes, yes, it is. The quotes I've got for this episode are almost 3 pages long. it's almost the transcript of the episode.
You know it's a good episode when James has got 3 pages of quotes.
I won't read all of them to you. I mean, I could, but it'd be a pretty... there'd be nothing from John or I. It's just us going, here's things they said which I thought were funny or notable.
Well, did anything from the cold open make it into your list of quotes? Because I think the cold open is quite quotable.
Well, it's the Cliff talking about how his family got there before the pilgrims.
Yeah, the Clavens got here before the pilgrims as he's chasing like a tourist bus down the streets of Boston. There is quite a sort of meta joke around, if you look on the left, you'll see a historic public garden. In colonial days, it was used as grazing area for privately owned livestock, which is sort of like a slightly sort of bit of shade thrown at Norm there, really, I think. He's often been described as he's like grazing on peanuts and bar snacks.
Livestock.
If you look on your left, you'll see the historic public garden, which in colonial days was used as a public grazing area for privately owned livestock. On your right are some of the historic brownstones. Oh my God, step on it, Harry. No, no, mailman.
But the actual story of this episode, the main story, sort of to do with, it's to do with people coming to America, isn't it?
Yeah, it is this idea of sort of to be an American, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into it as we go on, but there's like this quite clear distinction of sort of Norman as an American is sort of brought into it just in one moment and one scene, really. But it is this idea of, I think Cliff at the opening saying the Clavens have been here earlier than the Pilgrims kind of gives a bit of a theme of this episode, maybe a little bit.
Frasier has a headache also.
Which, we'll get into that because that's how this episode starts. And he's got a headache and it seems like nothing can solve it.
Yeah, Cliff isn't helping because Cliff just, yuck. So Frasier needs more water and aspirin is what he needs.
I think this might be the only thing Rebecca does in this episode. She offers Frasier a massage and then... I don't even know how you would describe it.
Karate chopping his back several times.
As he's trying to drink water, so inevitably he's sort of just splashing around everywhere in the bath.
Frasier, hold it. I know just the thing. I'm really good at massage. Just sit down, relax. There, how is that?
I didn't get any water.
All you're doing is you're just punching someone in the back there. This is a joke from either Friends or its spin-off Joey, where he goes, never turn around on a massage chair because all it is then is a machine which punches you in the crotch.
It doesn't look like the best massage that Frasier's been given, and it didn't help. So he seems a bit in agony from the pressures of sort of life, it seems to be what it causes it. But Lilith arrives and she's aware of this headache from earlier in the day and asks how he's doing. And she suggests alternative medicines, so like sort of chiropractic or acupuncture, actually, is more what she's suggesting. You ever done acupuncture?
No. I'm not scared of like needles or things, but I think I have the same sort of cynicism. It might work, but I'm also like, if an aspirin works, fine. You know, home remedies that you could do yourself. Well, I say that you could do yourself, that you can take yourself is more my go-to route. What about you?
Surprisingly, James, I've not had acupuncture. I'm not thrilled by the idea of it. It feels quite sort of invasive. Chiropractory, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, but I think you did that. I think I'd sound like an old jar of peanuts if you did chiropractic on me.
Yeah, I'm quite a clicky sort of person.
You've seen me where I've got a stiff shoulder and sounds like I'm dislocating it.
Do you know what helps with that?
What?
Acupuncture.
Acupuncture, not chiropractic.
No, we should get you acupuncture.
There you go. This is my hands.
If we get 100 million, no, let's, if we get 10 likes on a post, James will get acupuncture.
Sure. Sponsored and acupuncture.
We'll live stream it. All bets are on.
And Frasier, as I said, is cynical. But throughout the episode, he gets quickly convinced, let's say.
Yeah, and I think this scene of Frasier, I think feels quite close to what we get as a character in Frasier, if that makes sense. In the show Frasier, there's sort of an evolution that happens to Frasier where he sort of becomes a bit more sort of, is promiscuous the word?
I think it's applicable. Yeah.
Yeah. And Frasier, sort of after denouncing acupuncture and he doesn't want it, sees the doctor.
She's an attractive young woman, isn't she?
Yeah. And he goes, will the oil be hot? And it's sort of a very sort of Frasier 2000s kind of vibe, I think.
2000s Frasier. Backwards cap, low hanging jeans. Woody is asking Carla for, and we'll get into this, you know, we'll get into how that storyline goes. Woody is asking Carla for a favor. She presumes he is going to ask her to cover his shifts, and she is sick of it, John. She's sick of it. Turns out Carla's standing on his foot.
The dynamic between Carla and Woody, I don't think we get enough of sometimes.
I don't even know what you'd call it. It's almost like an older sister.
She's sick of it because Woody's been taking a lot of time off because he's going on many dates with his girlfriend, Kelly, obviously played by Jackie Swanson, excellently.
Yeah.
And that's sort of become a running thing in the bar where Woody isn't working. He's often out dating.
That's the life. Yeah, Sam does say he can leave early. Kelly doesn't like Woody being late to their dates, and neither does Henri.
Henri is back.
I would think so, with a title like A Fine French Wine. Yes, he's certainly the villain of this episode, isn't he? The antagonist.
We find out that he's been third wheeling all of Kelly and Woody's dates. He hasn't stopped his jokes.
The definition of a gooseberry. I think you used it many, many episodes ago.
Yeah, that feels like a long time ago now, yeah.
Years later, I've confidently used it.
But I think the thing which sort of within this scenario is Woody kind of gets made the gooseberry in this situation a lot of the time because of the way that Henri acts and the sort of innocence or naivety Kelly has towards Henri and just takes him as a friend when he's actually pushing Woody out of the situation.
He's a scoundrel. I'm sure there's a word for him in French. Tête de merde.
What does that mean?
Can't say it on a PG podcast.
Well, you just have for part of the audience, our strong French fan base.
That's true. And je suis désolé. But Lilith has entered, right? Frasier is getting some acupuncture. And in the back office, Dr. Lee is the acupuncturist. Mm. At this point, Henri enters with Kelly. And he immediately tells Woody he's going to steal her. And he asks Sam how the women chasing is going. So Sam updates him that his priorities have changed.
Sam, how is my favorite American chaser of women?
You know, I'm not doing that anymore, Henri. You know, I've reached that point in my life where my priorities are beginning to shift. I think I want to settle down and raise a family.
Oh, that's a good line. Does it work?
No. I'm really serious about this, Henri. I'm going to go through with this.
Sammy, don't worry. I will not steal your precious line.
Henri thinks that this is a great line.
Yeah, he thinks it's a play. Something from the old playbook of Sam Malone. That's what he thinks. And Sam's trying to go like, no, I'm serious. And he's like, okay, I won't use your lies. They're
your special line. An important letter has arrived for Henri. He's getting mail delivered to Cheers, which is interesting.
It's his second home, James.
I was going to say, what's his first home while in the States?
Well, we don't have a budget for a set for him.
He just lives here. He probably lives up at Melville's, doesn't he?
The letter is to tell him that his visa is expiring and he will be deported from the US in 2 days. And Woody is over the moon about this. And he doesn't hide this.
No, he does not.
And Kelly is particularly angry with Woody because he doesn't seem very compassionate towards what is pretty good news for him.
Henri would have known this was coming, surely.
I mean, he does say, like, they're deporting me because I don't have a job. I don't want a job. I have no interest in getting a job.
But Norm worries because he thinks, wait, does that mean I could be deported?
Wait a minute, they can kick you out of the country for that?
No, no, relax. You were born here.
God bless America. Hey.
And that's why I think the opening of Cliff saying, you know, the Clavens were here before the Pilgrims and that kind of idea of patriotism. And later we get like Woody saying, what kind of a country kicks a guy out but keeps a guy like me kind of thing?
What kind of a country is it that kicks a guy like him out and lets a guy like me stay? I'll tell you what country.
USA! 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 Hey, USA!
So they're sort of preparing to say goodbye to Henri, and he starts talking and he says he's got an idea, but it would take quite a, what does he say, a sacrifice of someone
yes.
to help him. And actually, before we get this, we hear how Woody's quite excited about the idea that Henri's going to be out of the picture because yeah. he feels like him and Kelly will be able to progress their relationship, and he's actually considering proposal and marriage.
Yeah, he's writing down sort of prompt cards and the best way to phrase said proposal.
As Henri's talking about this sacrifice of that someone will have to make, he says, well, if someone married me, I'd be able to stay in the country. And then sort of almost waits for the penny to drop and Kelly to realize she could be that person.
There's an interesting bit here where Woody hides his cards because Kelly's entering the bar. He hides them above the bar and finds his wallet, which he hid there 6 months ago. The episode, I'm Getting My Act Together and Sticking It in Your Face, season 9, episode 16, may be why Woody hid his wallet in the first place, because remember, Rebecca stole Woody's clothes and wallet.
Oh yeah, she flew off with his credit cards, didn't she?
That's maybe why he hid it in the first place.
Yeah, some good deep dive in there, James.
It's purely a hypothesis.
That corkboard you've got up in your office where you're tying all the assets together with string to map it out, it all paid off in the end.
I told them I won't need to take it down. Strangely, Norm has never had a headache. The only way Fraser can make him understand is by comparing it to when someone eats ice cream too fast.
Which I think is a decent way to describe a headache. But
yeah.
We've definitely seen Norm stressed at times.
And even when he got a cork to the face, he was confused, but painless. But yes, Henri has a plan.
And Kelly is now on board with that plan, sort of what am I trying to say? She doesn't realize it's his plan in some ways.
Unwittingly?
Yeah, unwittingly was the word I was looking for. And said half of three times. But yeah, so that she's prepared to go ahead with that, and Woody's uncomfortable about this scenario. Strangely, and this is sort of high fast, James, she doesn't understand Woody's opinion about being uncomfortable with her marrying someone else.
What are you saying, Woody? This is crazy talk.
Kelly, I love you, and I don't want to see you with another man. I forbid you to marry Henri.
Well, Mr. Woody Boyd, the mask has certainly come off. If you're so small-minded that my marrying another man makes you take a rude tone of voice, maybe you're not the man I want to marry right after I marry this man. Come on, Henri, we're leaving.
Kelly, if you open that door, that's it, it's over. All right, Kelly, if you go up those steps, it is really over. Kelly, if you keep walking down Beacon Street and take the left on Charles, it's over!
Henri, in celebration, I guess, starts singing America the Beautiful, and then he cries and leaves, which is what is the trigger for Kelly to follow him.
And he also talks about when he arrived, he saw the lady.
Yep, the Statue of Liberty.
Well, that's what they assume, but it isn't. It's like a CD response.
It's implied as the Statue of Liberty at first, and then they twist. Statue of Liberty from the French, isn't it?
Yeah, there's one in Paris as well. I've seen the one in Paris, James.
I've seen the one in New York. So together,
there you go.
We've seen both.
The one in Paris is not as big.
Fun fact, it didn't start off as green. It's due to oxidization. It's copper. So over time, it's become green.
Iconically green now, I'd say.
Iconically green. If you saw the original one, you'd be like, what's that weird brown color?
Eiffel Tower was like a red originally.
And did it rust or something?
No, they repaint it every 3 years, I think.
Different colour?
I think it slowly changed colour each time.
And they just went, give it generic metal colour.
Mm. It's now like an off-brown kind of colour now.
Yeah, because I remember when it was a kind of greyish silver at one point.
Mm. Okay. Quite literally, we're talking about paint drying. That's...
You know, it's season 10. We need to come, need to think of things to talk about at this point.
But whilst we're in the bar, Kelly and Henri are... Well, Woody and Kelly make up and she apologizes and Woody says, nothing will ever make us fight again. Even if there's a legitimate reason, we won't fight again. And she goes, I'm so glad we're back together, Woody. And yeah. Then goes, I'll see you later. And he goes, where are you going? And she goes, oh, I'm off to get married.
That's very true.
To City Hall.
Meanwhile, the massage, well, acupuncture, Fraser groans from the office. It's a impassioned groan, would you say?
I think we play the groan.
I'm sure Fraser is benefiting from an especially thorough massage.
And that noise piques sort of Lilith's interest, curiosity, concern. Yeah, concern's probably the word, because she doesn't know what's going on in there. And she asks Sam to go in and subtly check what's going on in the office. And yeah. I think Sam's reaction is probably, I think it might be my highlight of this episode a little bit.
Relax, Lilith. Everything's fine.
No, I'm Cliff. Get in here.
What that was all about.
Pop? I got $50 as he passes out before she gets to 100. I got 10, I'll cover that.
Yeah. All right, I'm in.
Excuse me, that's my husband you're wagering over. Put me down for 20.
And Lilith sort of rushes in to see what's going on.
With that amount of needles in him, you could call him Hell Fraser. You know, like Hellraiser. But yeah.
So it was all right.
They start making bets as to how many needles Dr. Lee can stick in Fraser. Lilith joins in the betting in an almost menacing way. Is that the word?
She kind of goes like, that's my husband you're betting over. Put me down for $20. Yeah. How many needles do you reckon he can take? What would your bet be?
In Kelsey Grammer? I think he'd take quite a lot, you know, and this will sound a weird comparison, but there's a photo of him getting a tattoo and he looks like he's an incredibly relaxed man. Tattoos are people sticking needles on, you know, and I think if he can look that relaxed, he obviously doesn't have an issue with needles, and if it's in a therapeutic session, he'd probably take a lot.
I think the bet was $50, so he passes out before she gets to 100. But yeah. He didn't seem particularly cognitive in the scene.
No, but he also didn't seem to be complaining.
Yeah. Yeah, he seemed very relaxed. Acupuncture works. That's what I got from this.
That's
and if you want to see James do acupuncture, we just need to get 10 likes on that post. We'll put a post on Facebook. If we get 10 likes, James going to get acupuncture. 100 needles.
I don't think I need to specify the amount of needles.
100 needles for the season final. 100 needles. James will record the whole season final with 100 needles in him.
You okay, James? Woody wants to go to City Hall and stop the wedding, you know?
Yeah. So while Sam encourages Woody to do that, and as Woody's put his notes up in the rafters of Cheers, he goes to get them and gets stuck in the rafters. Sam tries to help him down, and rather than get help, he goes, Sam, there's no time. You gotta break this wedding up.
Then Carla jumps and grabs onto Woody's legs, causing more pain. And I think that's one of the most brutal things Carla's ever done. At City Hall, an officiator is about to announce the couple. And then Sam bursts in and declares they don't love each other. And it's a sham. It's a wrong wedding, John.
Wrong wedding, but very similar back of heads. That was very well cast, the back of their heads. And yeah, this is some good farce going on, because there's nothing better than a sort of sitcom marriage breakup, but they ran into the wrong wedding. When the couple turn around, Sam goes, oh, I'm at the wrong place. And she goes, no, it's the right one. And that's a great moment in this episode. It's really funny. That might have been actually one of my highlights. This has a lot of good visual gags in this episode, actually.
It has, yes. And the wedding one is a great example of that. Eventually, Sam finds the actual wedding and tries to tell Kelly that there is someone who loves her very much, who she may have overlooked. Kelly thinks he is talking about himself.
Another great moment in this episode. Yeah, he has to quickly kind of go, what about Woody?
Yeah.
Which is great. Now that I think we've met all of the players in this sort of farcical affair, James, should we talk about the cast?
Yes, let's do. Jackie Swanson as Kelly Gaines, Anthony Cicero as Henri, Sonia Fortag as Bride, she also appeared in Dave's World, Dracula, Dead and Loving It, Sybil, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Keenan and Kel, Two Heads Are Better Than None, Charmed, Beowulf, A Christmas Carol, Uncle Buck, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and many more. Jeff Heston as Groom. He also appeared in Young Nurses in Love, Double Revenge, L.A. Law, Homefront, Roseanne, General Hospital, Married with Children, and others. Paul Wilson with Paul Crapence. Peter Fox and Miller as Tour Guide. This is his only role. Nancy Arnold as Dr. Lee. She also appeared in Jake and the Fat Man, 30-something, Honor Thy Mother, Dream On, and others. Ron Ray as Justice of the Peace number 1. He also appeared in Homicide, Dynasty, Trapadon, M.D., Hotel, The New Lassie, Dallas, WKRB in Cincinnati, Picket Fences, and many more. Bill Grattan as Justice of the Peace number 2. This is the one at the Henri wedding. He also appeared in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Family Ties, Dynasty, Hill Street Blues, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, General Hospital, The Golden Girls, Falcon Crest, L.A. Law, Wings, Hearts of Fire, Seinfeld, Days of Our Lives, The Practice, ER, The Green Mile, The West Wing, and many more.
And I think for me, James, Sonia Fortag steals the show for this episode.
She does.
In the next scene, we see Woody entering and we actually see her re-entering her wedding. She's being sort of talked back into the wedding by Jess Heston's groom and she's sort of going, oh, everyone gets jitters kind of thing. And then Woody jumps in and goes, I object to this wedding as a sham. Yeah. And she bursts out. And it's a great scene to see that unfold again. But Woody comes in to the actual wedding, then says, could the bride and groom please turn around? And it's such a great moment for him. And once he's got sort of the confirmation is at the right wedding, then he will object.
Yeah, it's a great line. At this point, Kelly accidentally let it slip that it is a green card marriage. Mm. And the officiator looks on judgmentally, but still seems fine with doing it.
This is where Woody says the letter was fake. He's not really being deported. His visa's not up. And Henri goes, how did you know my plan? And then sort of very much outlines his whole evil plan, which is actually genuinely quite evil.
I am sorry, Kelly. I was trying to take you away from Woody and have my way with you and divorce you and take half your money. Can you ever forgive me?
Oh, I can't stay mad at you, you silly.
This is the weird scenario. Is just after saying that, she does very much seem to forgive him.
Oh, you and your schemes.
But there's a high level of farce. And I tell you what, James, it did remind me a little bit of a film we watched in season 9.
It was Three Men and a Little Lady, I'm assuming.
Yes, farcical wedding breakup scenarios. Yeah. I think this fared up pretty well against that film.
I think, they're on par in terms of, well, plot at least, and farce.
Full farce, I think, yeah.
Gourmet farce.
Kelly. We've been going out for a lot of years now, and I love you, and you love me, and I want to spend the rest of my life with you. What I'm trying to say is, will you marry me?
Of course I'll marry you, Woody.
Oh, Kelly, you made this the happiest day of my life.
Mine too.
And it ends with a great shot moving through the hallways of City Hall. It's a very James Burrows shot. And it reminds me of the shot from the pilot, actually. You see all the players that we've seen at the location, the other couple, the officiators, and they're saying we need to get better locks on these doors.
So two complete strangers break in and tell us not to get married. So why should we care?
Honey, could we at least go steady?
It happened to you too?
Yeah, twice.
You gotta get the locks for those doors.
So you see, our visas have just expired and we are going to be deported.
Oui.
I'll tell you what, it wasn't the last one before Christmas, but it works very well as a sort of mid-season finale, almost. Mm. It's not, but it would work quite well as one. Oh, hello, Cliff. Yes, yes. I don't know. I really don't care. He's got some opinions, that man.
He was here before the pilgrims.
Yeah, and he won't shut up about it. But as usual, before we open our letters, we have to give a shout out to our norms on Patreon. So this goes out to Treb Curry. If you want that special norm treatment, then check out our Patreon page for that and so much more. What three examples of alternative medicine is Frasier reluctant to, in his words?
Three examples of medicine.
Alternative medicine or treatments or therapy.
Are these things he did in college?
They are things which certainly have the reputation of being done in college.
Is it where a crystal dissolves herb under his tongue? Is it that line?
Yep.
Is it listening to an aging hippie?
Listening to some aging hippie playing the whale flute. Yes.
Yeah. He says he did them in college. He says it's not what I went to college for, but I did do them at college. In this episode, when Norm and Fraser are talking, what are some of the reasons someone might get a headache that Fraser gives?
Stress and physical trauma to the head.
Stress and tension.
Yeah.
Job-related anxieties, day-to-day pressures. When Norm didn't know any of them, he defaulted to the ice cream analogy.
Yeah, so it's mental or physical, basically. Henri invented a game he played with Kelly. What was it called?
Was it Shower Rescue Emergency or something?
Shower Rescue, yeah.
Creepy guy. I have one final question for you, James.
Yeah?
What earrings was Carla wearing in this episode?
Can I phone a friend?
If you could phone a friend, who would you be calling there, James?
I'd phone Linda White.
Me and Linda are both disappointed because I ask this nearly every episode, James, and you never write it down.
Yeah, I am going to say she's wearing a little gold woman as her earrings, like the Statue of Liberty.
That's incorrect.
But it's a nice thought.
Some lovely flamingo earrings.
Of course, flamingos.
And they're pretty big, and the legs are sort of detached and sort of...
dangling around.
Dangling independently, yeah.
I'll tell you what, I might not be a fan of earrings, but I do love a wedding episode. And you know what else I love, John?
Podcasts.
Podcasts, and specifically using Zencastr to make them. Zencastr we've been using for years now, and it enables us to sound our best with its inbuilt audio processing. We can't recommend it enough for anyone out there who wants to do their own podcast and talk about the shows and subjects important to them. So if you want to use Zencastr using the promo code NORM, you can get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. So go to zencastr.com/pricing, use the code NORM. We want you to have the same easy experiences that we have had for all of our podcasting and content. And we want to listen to what you have to say. Final call. What are we having?
Oh, last call at the bar, James.
Something French. French fancy came to mind, but it's just a nice little treat.
Well, a fine French wine feels like a missed opportunity, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. But which one? Chateau Neuf de Pape?
Yeah, as long as you're the one ordering. Bring me the sommelier.
I've literally just Googled finest French wine. There's a Chateau Lafite Rothschild from 2005 going for £1,050.
Can you sort of present it to me like a sommelier, James?
This is a fine Chateau Lafite Rothschild from 2005. It is... So I've just seen the site it's on. Do you want to hear the site?
Yeah.
Fraser's Wine Merchants.
I'll take it. Well, I suppose we'll be raising our glass of that fine French wine and toasting this episode. It's been a good one, James. I've enjoyed this episode.
I have too. Yes.
Some good farce.
We'll be raising this very expensive glass of wine and looking forward to the rest of the episodes. Troy will be joining next week.
This has been Where Nobody Knows Your Name, a Cheers podcast.
Thank you for listening, everyone.
Au revoir.